The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And I am John, a.k.a. The Silver Vox.
And welcome to Gotham Undercover.
Woohoo! So good to be back. How you doing, Jeff?
Well, fighting off some sinus junk, but other than that, ready to talk about some good Gotham.
Absolutely. We're in a bit of a Noah's Ark situation here in North Carolina.
That's right.
Where Jeff and I are both from. And so it's hard not to get sick in all this mess. So we hope that you get better. And we are all sending our very bat best to our Scarlet Cougar, who is still working through some issues. So we're pulling for you, praying for you, and we want the very best. So with that, you are welcomed to Gotham Undercover, episode 96. We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. You can find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or search out the show's popular Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. Jeff, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Ace Chemicals. And man, oh man, this episode was written by Zee Chun. And Zee is the executive story editor of Gotham. And it really, really shows in the details, the consistency, the weaving things together. And the director is John Stevens, another Gotham EP, who's done writing for Gotham as well. So they work really well hand in hand, making this vision of this episode come alive. And it really hit on all cylinders.
Oh, absolutely. There wasn't a moment of this that was wasted. There wasn't a moment of it that didn't come together in such a great fashion. I know we'll break it all down, but man, overall, this hit on every single thing I could have asked, which is why I gave this episode a perfect 10 out of 10 Italian meringue bombs.
And I wanted to leave a little room for the finale.
Yeah.
And so I gave it 9 Zora Mayas out to ruin your day.
Hola, Bruce. Very nice. Now, we have a special report from our Gotham Undercover agents, because there was a line in this episode that Jim just does not see Victor Zsasz as a cinephile. Well, we are here to prove him wrong. Our agents have filed 2 of Zsasz's top 5 cinema flicks. Mm-hmm. So, Jeff, what did your agent figure out for you?
Okay, well, I said The Big Sleep, because that's classic noir. It's got a lot of gun back and forth between everybody. It's kind of a mystery. I chose The Professional, Leon, because of the hitman aspect of it. This Gun for Hire, another noir hitman movie. Taxi Driver for kind of the manicness and the city life. And then Pulp Fiction, just for the retro vibe that I think he would like. How about you, John?
Absolutely. Well, knowing how much of a De Niro fan that Zsasz is, of course, I picked out Scarface, which, you know, just random senseless killing. He'd be all about that.
Yeah, and that was close to being on my list, too, so that was good to see it on yours.
Yeah. And Cape Fear, because, again, De Niro, senseless killing. It's all good. The Godfather, of course, because, you know, he likes to plan and, so we got to put that together. Platoon, because I'm sure he's a little bit of a war buff.
Yeah.
Sitting there. And then this one really surprised me, but Terms of Endearment. Yeah, because every once in a while you need to get your feminine side on, you know, and let that come out. And he just, you know, he sits down with this film. He has a tear or two. And
yeah.
Then he's ready to get back into action.
Definitely. That was fun. Hey, listen, if you have your list of top fives, please.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Feel free to leave that as comments on the blog post, or you can call it in. We'll include it in the next episode. So do that. Do that. Our discussion stories. Our A story is a joke without a punchline. That's the main gist of our story with Jeremiah and Bruce, but it kind of ropes everybody in. Our B storyline is there must be some way out of here. That's our Penguin and Selena, Riddler. It even wraps in Babs as well. And then we have kind of a bonus. We have couples therapy. So we have Jim and Babs. We have Jim and Lee, and then we have Bruce and Selena. So let's go ahead and talk about the couples therapy and kind of get that out of the way.
That's good.
What do you feel about the Jim, Lee, Barbara triangle that they're working on here?
Well, I posited last week that I don't think Barbara gets out of this series alive. And I think my my theory was put out there a little bit stronger this week because she is basically kind of turning away from Jim.
Right.
And just saying, you know what, your involvement with this ended when you put your pants back on and is leaving him out of any kind of quote unquote family dynamic. And you know what? I hate that because he is the father, but I think just like you were speculating last week, I think the baby does survive and goes with Jim and Lee. And that's going to be our one little bit of happy ending, I hope, when this is all said and done. I can't say enough about Jim and Lee. For Bat Jordan, I know it's, you know, from Batcat, from the first kiss to the last, right? That's his sign off. For me, my couple in this entire series is Jim and Lee. And I so want them to work. And that last scene with them in the police station was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the writing of those two together combined with the cinematography, I call that the Church of Law and Justice. Because it's got the church feel with the lights and the windows and the pulpit-like balconies. And there they are, the last scene, embraced in the light, kissing, very much like a picture of a wedding there. And it just conveys where their relationship is at right now. We know that there's going to be challenges, but oh my goodness, they're the type of couple that they can work things out, and I think that they will. They've gone through a lot together, and I think Jim has always wanted the best for Lee, and he is looking at what he's got now and trying to take that, and Lee is ready to come back to that too. And you know, they even brought up in this episode the loss of the child that they had together.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was weaved in just perfectly.
Yeah, and I absolutely love it because we have that depth of this relationship that has been ongoing throughout the series. And it takes somebody like Z to weave that in so well. And yeah, I'm with you. It was fun to kind of see Lee and Ed together, but I agree, you know, Jim and Lee, I'm hoping that this is a rock that can kind of see them both through the challenging times in Gotham.
I am always for shows that can really do adult relationships well. And this back and forth has just been phenomenal. When just her bringing up the baby, her saying, you know, we can't change the past, we have to live with it, and she smacked him, and I thought, oh no. And then that was it. I mean, she closed that chapter. And it's like, okay, here we go, we're moving on from here. It was beautiful. Just, oh, that entire thing was just amazing. And you know what I noticed as I was watching it through on the second time? We have, right about in the middle of the episode, we have Alfred coming back to his senses after Wayne Manor has been decimated, and you know, Bruce coming to you know, those two back together, and you get this incredible hug, and Bruce saying, you know, I never want you to leave me, or, you know, or, yeah, I can't, whatever he said. And Alfred was like, never. And then right at the end of the episode, we wrapped it all up with Jim and Lee. And I was like, wow. It's like, these are the relationships that have to stay solid for these characters to be who they are moving forward. And I was blown away.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, talking about Bruce, we have had this back and forth with him and Selena, and that's the nature of their relationship is a back and forth.
Yeah.
But we had in the previous episode of her talking about that she was there the night his parents were murdered, and she, you know, she didn't do anything. That's who she was. And we get the opposite in this episode, and then we get to see the two of them bonding, having a moment of peace in their victory over Jeremiah there, and very fleeting, but such genuineness and in just the facial expressions of Carmen and David, and just the looking at the two of them, of knowing that they've got this touchstone of their relationship and mending fences. I just really appreciated it.
Oh, yeah. When Bruce says, you've done enough, and she looks, you can tell, like, her shoulders relax, and she just melts right there. And it was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, wow. I can't say enough about this entire episode. And from the, like you said, Z's writing to the direction to cinematography. Oh my goodness. We were back in the hospital, between Jim and Lee and Babs, the same place where, you know, Selena went through such trauma.
Right.
And now, Lee is back doing the work that she's supposed to do as a doctor. And, you know, helping out and so on and so forth. It's just, for the bleakness of this season, how positive this episode was. I was so refreshed by this episode in such a dismal season that is justifiable. But yeah. I mean, just for the pain and the grief and the, just like Jim was saying, every time I think we're getting somewhere, we end up right back where we started. But this entire episode was just such a breath of fresh air and so beautifully done. Wow.
All right, let's move on to the B story, because we find out that Penguin is trying to get away off the island, and Gotham Harbor has been mined. And
so, I mean, seriously?
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, they've mined the harbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, how bad does it have to be when the mainland puts bombs in the harbor so you won't get out of the city? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I know. And they can't get out by air because they'll get shot down by the mainland. So, you know, it's just hilarious. Oh, he's swimming. Oh, never mind.
Boom. And can I just say the picturesque shot of him watching the boat and you see it explode in the binoculars that he's using? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But yeah, Selena's having too good of a time giving Penguin the what for over this. And she's like, you know, Jeremiah has built this tunnel. And she doesn't know where it goes. But she knows that he was trying to get back to the mainland. Obviously, right. That's not what he was doing. But she thinks he's going to the mainland. And so she takes Penguin down into this area that she was familiar with, where she thought she killed Jeremiah.
Yeah. And then we discover that the only way out of Gotham has now been sealed off by the explosion of Wayne Manor. And
such a killer.
Yeah, and just this scene of Alfred appealing to her to not kill Penguin and go help Bruce was just so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. After he's like, Selena, what are you doing here? I'm with that. Yes, you're absolutely right. Oh my goodness, just, you know, where is Bruce and what is he doing? And And he was just like, yeah, you need to go help Bruce. He needs you right now. And that's what broke her out of it.
Right. So. And, you know, we had saw in an earlier scene where she was talking with Babs that giving the whole scoop that she was really playing Penguin. Yep. And wanted to off him, and then they would split the treasure once they got to the mainland. Yep. And so we see, you know, that come to fruition at the end of the episode. But Penguin is ever resourceful, and so he goes to his frenemy, Riddler, for a little help on how to get out of Gotham. And this was hilarious.
Yes. And so the two of them come to terms, mm-hmm. as such. And I love how Ed called him out. He's just like, you'll never not come up with some kind of defense for what you've done, which is true. I mean, that's been his character right. the entire way of the series. So they end up going back to Penguin's Citadel and Babs is there waiting for him and mm-hmm. she's gone through the vault.
Mm-hmm.
And so interesting. And I don't know. It's not surprising at all, but this one will play off of that one to get what they want for the moment to play off of this right. one for the moment. And so very interestingly as well, Barbara can't bring herself to shoot Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was interesting that, you know, her hormones, her pregnancy hormones, combined with the fact that Riddler could tell that she was pregnant and... yeah, and just the fact of that, of her hearing that and combined with, you know, the semi-rejection and her putting up the wall with Jim is just all too much. And she's knows that Penguin's resourceful, and if they can build this submarine, that was hilarious. If they can build this submarine, she might stand a chance to get out, but it's going to be better for her to hold off. So it's just people playing, like you said, playing off of each other. And I thought it was interesting that they chose a submarine kind of going back to the 60s Penguin sub there. But, you know, it will be interesting to see if this does come about, but I don't know. It's these three just playing off of each other and working it out. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how much Babs changes as the pregnancy progresses and what kind of changes we see in her because of it.
So it's like, well, it's just that, you know, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Don't start.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, so that leaves us with our big main storyline, a joke without a punchline. What a line that was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that Goodness. Harkens back to so many speeches of the Joker in multiple different media to Batman of, yeah. you know, that we're nothing without each other. And I love how this episode was a turnabout on the pilot episode.
Yes.
We're examining characters. We're putting characters back in a situation that they were in at the beginning and contrasting how much that they have changed from that beginning to now. And it mm-hmm. also shows how far they have left to go. I mean, just the lengths that Jeremiah went to be included in the most pivotal day in Bruce's life were amazing.
Yeah. His and I need to go to it right away. What I found absolutely brilliant on the part of the writers and producers
mm-hmm.
was the switch.
Yeah.
Because I totally bought it the first time I watched it, mm-hmm. right? And then the second time I watched it, I put into kind of my motion of how they had to orchestrate that all together and it not come off as really over the top or cheesy and all that. And,
right.
and it was brilliant. It really was brilliant because as a viewer, they knew that we weren't all that invested in these, you know, plastic surgery makeups
mm-hmm. right.
that he made for Thomas and Wayne. So it wouldn't necessarily affect us that much.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it turns out that Jeremiah has made the play mid game to say, oh, okay, we have Jim and Lee mm-hmm. now that can serve in these roles. that's even better.
Yeah.
It's better for Bruce because he's more invested, and it's better, and the writers are saying it's better for us as the audience because now we have people that this peril means so much more. I was blown away, and I'm sure there are people out there that saw this coming a million miles away as soon as Jim and Lee were captured, and that's all well and good. I didn't. I loved it. It was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see because, like you said, it is more of an emotional punch because of who those two are to Bruce. And it means that, you know, if Jeremiah pulled it off, that he would be involved in this trauma that would remake Bruce. And so just the no way out scenario of, okay, here's the fireworks with the toxin, here's the, you know, two people that you care about, and now you've got no way out. And but he's not counting on Selena, and that was awesome to see her come off the catwalk and, you know, the fire escape there and whip that gun out of his hand was just amazing. To see her turn to action where she was in inaction at the beginning of the series.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. So this whole setup with Jervis Tetch, what did you think about Tetch coming back for this plan to come together?
I think he was a good plot device of being able to control folks, and it made logical sense in this world of being able to hypnotize and take control and to put people in play like a chess master like Jeremiah would appreciate. I did find it a little, it was interesting when both Jim and Lee brought up the fact that, you know, he was being manipulated and played by Jeremiah, but I think he kind of enjoys that, enjoys being a part of it and getting to play havoc there. So it was interesting and a fun way of bringing some of the stuff back, because he brings up the fact where of the dinner party, the tea party that he had, and Jim told him to shoot Lee, and, you know, kind of bringing that history back up there. So it served a good point in my eyes.
Yep. I loved how he's the one time he ran out of rhyming was when Lee really got up under his skin. Mm-hmm. And he was just finally like, shut up.
Yeah.
he was almost left speechless with what she had to say.
Well, you know, it was just neat because we see Selena come in, we wake Jim and Lee up. Jim smartly sends Bruce after Jeremiah, and he drives the fireworks into Gotham Harbor, saving the day, but yet cutting them off from the mainland because of it for a little while longer. But this confrontation battle between Bruce and Jeremiah on the catwalk, I loved it because the cinematography with the jealousy that Jeremiah has felt of wanting to be a part, combined with the green glow from the vats kind of overall in there, and how Bruce says it ends and Jeremiah says it's the beginning, just kind of playing off of the beginning of their back and forth arch enemy status throughout the days, and, you know, their how evenly matched they were, and just the, of course, the iconic scene of him falling into the vat was just amazing.
Well, for me, there was no better line than from Bruce when he said, "You don't mean a thing to me." And that's, I mean, if you really want to get at Jeremiah or the Joker or any of those iterations, that's exactly how you do it, and how smart of him to say, "You've lost, you've done all this, and you don't mean anything."
Right, right.
Oh my goodness, that was so powerful.
I mean, it was so good all around. I mean, I loved this episode. You know, it was fun to watch multiple times. I know it's one that I'm going to go back and watch again. It was so good.
Was there anything to the imagery of what Jeremiah kind of came out as? There we see him in the end. I didn't necessarily catch anything, but again, I don't have the vast comic background that you do.
Well, he was disfigured. You know, that kind of gave the white pale to his skin in the comics and things like that. There's been some images of Jeremiah 2.0 released out on the web that have been leaked that kind of give his appearance of what it's going to look like. And people have said, well, the producers have said that he's not Jeremiah, he's not Jerome, he's not quite Joker, but he's kind of a combo of Jeremiah and Jerome, but pointing you in the direction of Joker. So once again, we'll take that with a grain of salt to see what actually happens. But I just think it'll give him maybe the green hair and a little more of the disfiguration and maybe the paleness of skin, too. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, and the incredible homage to, the 30-year anniversary of the of the Batman Tim Burton film and Ace Chemicals and, him falling in that vat and just bubbling in there. And the edit from that to the harbor was just amazing. And the cinematography of that looking up shot at Bruce as he's standing there, watching the vat of chemicals just boil. And it was so good.
Yeah, definitely.
So good. So good.
Anything we've missed that you want to cover?
Not that I can think of right off the top. I mean, again, every moment of this was just fantastic.
Well, let's see what the Gotham Undercover agents have to say about it. First up, we got some feedback from Chris. Says, hey guys, I didn't get to watch last week's episode, which is why I didn't submit my feedback. So let's get down to business. So I'm glad you got to see this week's because it was awesome. Bruce, hi. Word to the wise, you might want to... that it may help with your future career if you see a bunch of several-year-old newspapers posted on a wall. There's somewhat of a good chance that no good will come from it all. Of course, I knew this would happen when Lee said, you can't be serious, but part of me desperately wanted Barbara to say, I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. It's me. I want that all the time. Nothing really to comment on Wayne Manor. Jeremiah has that well covered. Oh, look, he's swimming ashore. Kablam! Someone is really going to have to step up for Jeremiah not to win the Batmobile keys tonight. Speaking of which, Jeremiah kind of knocked it out of the park in the scene around the kitchen table. You'll see... in time. Are Jeremiah and Jervis in cahoots? What's Harley doing there? Selena, what are you doing here with that?
Yes.
I love the little Cesar Romero reference with Jeremiah with the pencil-thin mustache. Yeah, as he was playing Zorro. Well, tonight, it's time to party like it's 1989. Yep. I have to borrow a line from Palpatine in response to Bruce saying Jeremiah is no longer a threat. You will find it is you who are mistaken about a great many things. Definitely. Nice. Yeah, I'm going to shoot him. And one we missed. So, who's the lucky father? Shut up. I enjoyed the episode tonight. I truly felt like an episode of Batman versus an episode of Gotham. Not that being an episode of Gotham is ever a bad thing. Jeremiah channeled every good Joker that came before him and really added a lot to the episode. So, I gave this 10 out of 10 Ace Chemical Bass. I loved every second of this. As I predicted, Jeremiah gets the Batmobile keys. No one was going to beat him out for this, but Barbara actually narrowed the margin of victory a bit at the end. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much, Chris. Love
it. All right. We also heard from our own Green Butterfly.
Yay!
Yeah, Mr. Cena says, "Hi," wave emoji. "This is your eye in the sky green butterfly," butterfly emoji. "We have seen villains rise and have dealt with their wrath. We live in this mad city week after week. I will not give up. I will not lose hope. Even if everything is exploding all around us, heroes will rise, and I have heard the whispers of a legend that will be told over and over as the years pass. A legend that a dark knight will rise to look after us all." Eyes emoji. "So don't lose hope, undercover agents. X-Force 11, Scarlet Cougar, and the Silver Vox will always protect us. Stay safe, everyone. Keep your spirits up. Remember, what you see may be deceiving. I thought you may need a little extra love," heart emoji, "this week. So I brought leftover Valentine cookies with your sandwiches," sandwiches emoji, "today. Very worried that Joker will have another laugh in him, even if they say his brain is dead. And public service announcement, don't get in a submarine with villains. There's got to be another solution. The mainland may have given up on us, but we never should. 9 packs of prenatal vitamins. Have a super week, everyone. Love," heart emoji, green butterfly emoji, "waiting for the bat," bat emoji.
Right. And if you want to be like those good folks, here's what you need to do.
To have your feedback heard or read on Gotham Undercover, please submit it to us by our weekly deadline of Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can call us at 304-837-2278 or go to our feedback site at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out text, attach an audio file, or use the provided SpeakPipe widget. Follow our show on Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter at GothamGSM, or join our popular Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. To get a full listing of all of our Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network shows, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com. And to leave a 5-star review for this or other podcasts, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
John, tell us what's coming up next.
All right. This coming Thursday, we have the episode number 8 of season 5, Nothing's Shocking. Bullock's past comes back to haunt him when he and Gordon investigate 2 murders at the Sirens Club. Meanwhile, Bruce and Alfred explore the tunnels beneath the city, and Penguin Enigma's plans to escape are thwarted by the least likely of suspects in the all-new Nothing's Shocking episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, February 28th, 8 Eastern, on Fox.
That's right. So it's going to be interesting. Got to see some Bullock backstory, maybe a flashback. We'll see.
Yeah.
In the tunnels underneath Gotham City, that's not a place that I would like to be. I mean, knowing all the stuff that goes in the water and, you know, what we've seen come out of it, scary stuff.
Yeah, especially if it's near the chemical plant.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we thank you so much for tuning in each week. We're so happy to talk Gotham with you, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
5 more episodes to go, guys. It's hard to believe. It's coming to an end. Never wanted to end after this episode. Oh my goodness.
Definitely.
So thanks so much for having me on, Jeff. As always, it is a pleasure to join you. And with that, I am John, aka the Silver Vox, out.
X-Force 11. Talk to you soon.